Welcome to Sideline Sleuths, a true crime podcast all about the tragic yet fascinating cases no one can seem to get enough of. I'm Megan.
And I'm Jasmine.
We're so glad you're listening. If you like being an armchair detective, you'll love being a Sideline Sleuth. So we're more than halfway through the month of December, guys. I feel like 2019 went by so fast, and Christmas is just days away. This time of year can be a lonely time for a lot of people. I imagine missing a loved one is really difficult, especially when you don't know what happened to them. And missing them in the holiday season has to be even harder. Even more so if it coincides with the anniversary of their disappearance. So today we're going to talk about three missing person cases that all took place during the month of December. First, we're going to talk about the 2014 disappearance of a man named Paul Clifton Sigmon, who went by Cliff. He went missing in Kentucky on December 1st, 2014, after an argument with his brother. Then we'll talk about the disappearance of a woman named Sabrina Hathaway, who also went missing in December of 2014, but in Worcester, Massachusetts. She was last seen leaving her aunt's house, saying she was going to go for a ride with a friend. And lastly, we'll talk about the disappearance of a baby named Gabriel Johnson, who was about 8 months old when he was last seen with his mother in San Antonio, Texas.
8 months.
Yeah, he was a little baby. And he went missing at the end of December in 2009. So, on December 1st, 2014, Cliff Sigmon set off on foot from his home in Carter County, Kentucky. According to his mother, Sabrina, her son had some substance abuse issues and was even making meth shortly before his disappearance.
Like Breaking Bad.
Yeah, so he had like a lab. Probably not as high-tech as Breaking Bad, but...
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
I doubt many meth labs are as high-tech as Breaking Bad. Not that I've seen a meth lab in any way other than Breaking Bad, so I have no
true
idea what
that,
I'm talking about.
But I just feel like if you were doing that, you would try to, you know, aspire to...
Yeah, that would be like the standard.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
She said, quote, "Cliff and his brother, my son Eric, had a fight. A little headlocking thing. And Eric pretended he called the cops. He... Cliff was doing drugs, and he was afraid he would go to jail," end quote. Sabrina said this exact same thing happened countless times before, and each time Cliff left and came back after like 20 to 30 minutes. But this night, he didn't. The family members began driving up and down the road, calling out to him, saying he could come back and that it was just a joke and the cops weren't coming. But they didn't find Cliff. Eric, Cliff's brother, said that they did find Cliff's cigarettes, his Mountain Dew bottle, and his gloves in a small building during their search for him. But other than that, there was no sign of Cliff. A volunteer search team walked many miles, many times looking for him. One of the volunteer searchers named Angela, who never even met Cliff, said that she is, quote, "unconcerned about his personal life or habits," and, quote, "I just want to know where he is. He needs to be laid to rest appropriately. Everyone deserves to be laid to rest," end quote. Later, family said they discovered a voicemail he had left for another family member. Reportedly, he said that someone gave him a ride.
Oh, no.
There was a tip reported that he had, like, been seen getting in a black car, similar to one known to be driven by individuals he did drugs with. But that's never been confirmed. Sabrina, his mother, said that she thinks maybe he was robbed for the drugs he had on him. Family and friends really started to worry when Cliff didn't show up to work on the Monday after he took off, because he never missed work.
Really?
Even as, like, a drug user, he was very, like...
high-functioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of his coworkers, a woman named Allie, said that it wasn't like him to just miss and not call. She said Cliff would call even if he was just going to be a few minutes late to let them know. More tips came in about his body being dumped in a well. Investigators focused their search.
Yeah. That's creepy.
Yeah. Wells just freak me out in general. I just think about the ring. Investigators focused their search efforts on three different wells in three different counties because of those tips. But they didn't find Cliff. Now I'm thinking about the ring, so thank you.
Yeah, you're sorry. Sabrina, I haven't thought about that in a really long time.
Oh, yeah. And I am not a horror person.
I love it.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Very sick. Everything gives me nightmares. Kids are like, what's a good horror book? And I'm like, so I don't read that entire genre. You are on your own. I'll show you some good, I'll show you some reviews. Some other people who said these books are good, but I have no idea.
I'm like, I can't show you that, kids.
Yeah. I'm like, never would I ever read that. I apologize. Sabrina Sigmund said, quote, I still think he's in a well. That's been part of the rumors since day one, end quote. But then later she added that his body might also be hidden on an abandoned strip mine property. And I'm not even really sure what that is. Like, what's a strip mine?
I don't know. I guess I'm always thinking like a mine, shaft? Abandoned mines. Like with the chefs.
Yeah. With the chefs. A little more than a week after he was last seen, the media picked up the story. And then Sabrina and Eric started to be viewed as being involved. She said that they're both still suspects in Cliff's disappearance and has heard a multitude of rumors about what happened to him and like what they did, including that she and Eric fed Cliff's body to hogs. Ooh. And you know what case that reminds me of? Like, most of this reminds me of?
Oh!
Brandon Lawson. Because he was missing from Bront, Texas, you know, and he made phone calls to his family after he went missing too, just like Cliff did. But according to Kentucky State Police, foul play is not suspected in Cliff's disappearance. Like, so where is he? Just
Just like with Brandon.
They were like, oh, we think he just took off. He just, like, caught a ride and left. So an investigation was opened initially, as you know, and it was classified as, like, a missing person case. But no suspects or persons of interest have been named in the case because they don't think it's criminal. And Sabrina's like, Eric and I are suspects. And the police are like, no, you're not, because nothing happened to him. Like, he just took off. And then one of the theories about what happened to Brandon is that he was fed to hogs. So when I read that, like, people say that, I was like, is that, like, a thing? And, like, people were like, oh, Brandon was a meth user. He was high when he went missing.
That's what I was thinking about.
So the whole thing, I was just like, this is very Brandon-y.
Wow. Where'd this happen?
In Kentucky.
In Kentucky.
So not Texas, but.
That's all right.
But lots of, like, Brandon-esque things. In April of 2015, so just a few months after Cliff was last seen, his mother was arrested and charged with forging his tax returns and then trying to cash his tax refund check.
Girl?
Like,
that's, his mom?
That's so bold. Yeah, his mom.
You gotta be hard-pressed for cash.
Yeah. According to Kentucky State Police, a bank notified them that Sabrina was trying to cash his refund check because the bank knew that Cliff was a missing person. The police started an investigation and realized that she had forged her son's state and federal tax documents in an effort to, like, initiate the refund so that she could cash the check. After a grand jury decided to indict her, troopers went to her home to arrest her and found an active meth lab.
What? The mom?
The mom.
Oh, wow. So, wait.
I'm, like, honestly not super surprised. In addition to the first-degree forgery and criminal possession of a forged instrument charges that she had going on, then they tacked on charges of manufacturing meth, unlawful possession of meth precursors, I don't know what that means, possession of a controlled substance, and possession of a controlled substance not in a proper container added on there. So,
wow.
So the night that he went missing, were they all on meth?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So why would he get into a fight with his brother over using meth if it's like a family affair?
And if his brother, if they were all on drugs, why would they threaten to call the cops and why would you believe it? Maybe, does meth make you paranoid? I don't know.
It apparently makes you very, like, you're emotionally erratic. Like, it makes you can get really angry really fast. Okay. And, like, it chemically imbalances you definitely.
But, like, I don't feel like one meth user would be like, I'm going to call the cops on us. And then the other people would believe it. I don't know. I don't know anything
about it. They could be good people.
Sure.
I think I'm tired. It's totally weird today.
They could be really good people. I mean, they could. Being an addict doesn't make you a bad person.
Of course. So,
this month marked 5 years since anybody saw or heard from Cliff Sigmund. 5 years. But it's not foul play. It's just.
I think there's something definitely weird there.
Like, I don't think he just, like, did he get lost? No, like, they would have found something. I don't.
Yeah, especially if they run in clearly the same circles.
Yeah.
There would have been some.
I don't agree with the no foul play. I think it's to be determined. But to just be it's not. They're writing it off too quickly.
Yeah. Well, I got a lot of questions, but.
Yeah.
Mainly, where is Cliff?
Yeah. So next we're going to talk about the disappearance of Sabrina Hathaway, and it's totally just coincidental that Cliff's mom's name is also Sabrina.
Yeah.
And that's like, no way. Don't get it confused, folks.
Yeah, you had told me Sabrina in there, so I was like a little bit like, whoa,
two
whoa,
Sabrinas,
whoa.
Yeah. So hopefully we can keep this straight, but I want to give you a little background information about this Sabrina before I tell you what we know about her case. Sabrina's father died when she was young, and her mother was in and out of jail due to her involvement with drugs and prostitution. Because of this, Sabrina's siblings were adopted, and she was raised by family members. Sabrina had two children of her own, one when she was 15 and another when she was 19. Both of them are being raised by family members. So on the Facebook page called Find Sabrina Hathaway, it says that she was last seen on December 20th. A post on that page says December 19th, but the Charlie Project and the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System both list December 21st as the last known contact anyone had with her. So today's December 20th, so like basically like right now, sometime, is the 5-year anniversary of her disappearance. She didn't take any of her belongings with her, and she has not been in contact with any of her friends or any of her family members since then. Although Sabrina and her mother had a strained relationship, family reports that it would be uncharacteristic of her to go for extended periods of time without contacting her at all. Sadly, her mother died in 2017 before she ever found out what happened to her daughter. So, where is Sabrina Hathaway? Well, here's what we know. Up until the week before she disappeared, Sabrina lived with her then boyfriend, a guy named Kevin, at his grandmother's house.
Oh, dang.
She moved out on December 13th, so like just the week before. The friend she was referring to when she said she was going to go get a ride, like she left her aunt's house, that's the last time she's seen, that friend was Kevin.
Oh.
When questioned about Sabrina's disappearance, he said that the two of them went to a friend's house to drink. Afterward, that friend drove both Kevin and Sabrina back to his grandma's house, and they went inside and went to sleep. According to Kevin, when he woke up the next day, Sabrina was already gone.
What?
And no one has ever heard from her again. Questions.
That's so bizarre. So you get dropped off. She's the last person that's seen with her.
Yeah.
And they go into their home, and then he just wakes up, and she's gone.
Apparently, like, a friend dropped them back off, so I'm assuming that that can be corroborated.
Yeah.
And then they go to sleep, and then he just wakes up, and
that's it. She's gone.
The end. No.
Okay.
According to the Charlie Project, Sabrina has bipolar disorder and is classified as being disabled. She was actually receiving Social Security disability benefits at the time she disappeared, but she hasn't accessed any of that money since she went missing. Her phone goes straight to voicemail when you call it, and according to her family, she doesn't even know anyone outside of the state of Massachusetts. Also, according to the friends and family of Sabrina, Kevin was abusive towards her in the past. Though I'm not aware of there being any documented reports of domestic violence incidents between the two, but multiple people said that their relationship was abusive, with like her being the victim and him being the perpetrator.
Wow.
Previously, Kevin spent several years incarcerated for robbing and beating an elderly man. But he has always maintained that he is not responsible for Sabrina's disappearance.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
I'm not accusing, but...
of course you would. Whether you're involved or not, you're going to say you're not involved.
Right.
So, the house where Sabrina and Kevin had been staying, we know that she moved out about a week before her disappearance, but the residence where she was staying until she moved out is also the same place that she went home with him to that night that she was last seen.
Oh, so it's so like her former house. She moved out, but she spent the night there a week later.
Well... that house, it's owned by Kevin's family, right? Like, it's his grandma's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on New Year's Day of 2015, so she went missing December 21st-ish.
Yeah.
On New Year's Day of 2015, it burned down.
What are the chances of that?
Yeah. Firefighters responded to a report of a fire at the home around 5 a.m. on January 1st. The house was damaged so significantly that it would no longer be habitable. When the investigation into the fire took place, they found a pattern that extended down the hallway and into the master bedroom and discovered that an accelerant had been used in the fire.
So it's arson, for sure. What kind of nonsense is this? That's not even your crib, man. You can't be burning other people's house down.
Yeah, you burned your grandma's house down?
Like, that's so rude. She right bakes the cookies. Holidays, how I don't evil. Really know
if she bakes some cookies. I don't even know if his grandma lived there, but she owned it.
Yeah.
So, two guys, Scott and Lionel, were charged with arson in connection to this fire.
Who is Lionel?
And Scott. Okay. The pair said that...
forget Scott. Who is Lionel? Yeah.
The pair said... The pair said that Kevin recruited them to start the fire. They said Kevin told them he would pay them each $500 to do it out of the insurance money he would receive from the fire.
They took that raggedy payoff.
You're going to commit this really serious crime for $500.
Oh, like, my God.
No. Kevin believed that the home was insured for about $130,000. So he was going to keep $129,000 and give them. But they were going to do the crime? I don't know.
Oh, gosh, so, guys.
But it turns out that the house wasn't insured at all. So no money was gained from this.
Kevin lost money on this arson.
Yeah, lost a lot. So he was living at the house at the time of the fire, but he wasn't home when it happened, but it was 5 a.m. Conveniently. So, like, where were you?
That's a regular.
It's not like it was, like, 2 p.m. when you're at work or something. Yeah. How are you just not home at 5 a.m. when your house burns down? And, like, not an electrical fire or anything, like, when somebody burns your house down. Very convenient.
Wow.
The affidavit.
Very well covered up.
Yeah. But not super surprised.
I would be interested to know how they cornered Scott and Lionel, you know? Yeah. Like, what kind of hodgepodge job do they do? Did you just go right to them and be like, oh, it was you, right? Yeah. And they're like, oh, what? My
hands
are up.
Did they, like, write their name in the accelerant? Like, there's a fire pattern that said Lionel.
Scott and Lionel. Yeah.
Like how people, like, paint their names on walls before they, like, paint over it. They're like, before we burn it down, we're just going to write Scott and gasoline or something. I don't know. The affidavits related to the case say that investigators found paperwork inside the home with Sabrina's name on it, but not Sabrina. Her family believes she's no longer alive, and they think that Kevin wanted the house destroyed so that he could conceal any evidence inside about Sabrina's murder.
Yeah, especially being so, like, fresh.
Yeah. Like, if you really don't trust your cleaning abilities, just be like, psh.
I wouldn't. I mean, after as much CSI and forensic files I've watched, I would never trust my cleaning ability.
Yeah, same. But the prosecutor for the arson case agrees. He said, quote, "The evidence suggests that the motive for this fire was not insurance money, that the true motive was to cover up evidence in connection with missing person Sabrina Hathaway," end quote.
So he essentially made himself homeless.
Well, he was about to go live in jail, so it worked out for him.
You know. Okay. You weigh your options.
Yeah. I mean, and there, it's free, and they feed you.
So. You're very practical.
Yeah. Positive reframe, as our old principal would say there. Kevin initially pleaded not guilty to arson and conspiracy to commit arson, but later pled guilty. In 2018, he was sentenced to 6 years and one day for the crimes, despite the assistant district attorney recommending he get between 12 and 15 years.
I guess it's hard to punish somebody for burning down their own house, but, yeah. I mean, that took, you know, firefighters, time and energy.
Resources,
resources.
At that point, Kevin had already served more than 3 years while he was waiting for this, so he got 6 years beyond that. So he really got, like, nine years. I guess, yeah.
Wow, they can do that?
I guess they're just not giving you credit for time served or something. Or maybe they gave you nine and then said plus credit for time served, so you got six.
Gotcha.
His co-defendants, Scott and Lionel, were given time served after spending over 700 days in jail for their roles in the fire. Today, Sabrina's disappearance remains unsolved. And the arson case that her ex-boyfriend is incarcerated for has never officially been linked to her missing person case.
I mean, it'd be so hard to...
Like, it's obvious. Things. Anybody with a keen eye knows that they're related, but, like, they can't. They can't officially connect them.
Especially because of all the ways that everybody was like, well, she wouldn't go without contacting us, and her friends even said, like,
she doesn't even know anybody outside of Massachusetts.
She's not using any of her money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This month marks 5 years since anyone has seen or heard from Sabrina. The next one we're going to talk about is the disappearance of Gabriel Johnson. And this is more often referred to as the baby Gabriel case. He was last seen at a park in San Antonio, Texas, with his mother, Elizabeth Johnson, on December 26th, 2009.
The day after Christmas?
Some reports say December 27th, but that time-ish. There was a court order in place that Elizabeth could not leave the state of Arizona with Gabriel, But nevertheless, she ignored this and left with the baby.
Oh, because right, she's in San Antonio.
Yeah.
At the park.
Elizabeth is from San Antonio, but Gabriel's father is from Arizona.
I see.
So Elizabeth leaves with her son on December 18th. She had asked Logan, Gabriel's father, about putting the child up for adoption, and he refused to agree to it. She then left the state with her son and drove in her grandmother's car from Arizona to Texas. But then she left San Antonio on a Greyhound bus.
What?
On December 27th.
All these people disrespecting their grandmother's property. Come on now.
Gabriel was not with her when she got on the Greyhound bus.
What?
It's like, where's your baby? There was a custody hearing in family court in Arizona on December 28th. And when she didn't show up, a warrant was issued for her arrest for custodial interference. She was arrested on December 29th in Miami, Florida.
She's just hopping all over the globe. Okay, the America.
The country, but the southern the portion America. Of the United States. Yeah. No one has seen baby Gabriel since the day she was at the park in San Antonio.
What on earth? What a strange situation. I feel like...
That's 10 years now.
Oh, he'd be 10?
Yeah.
Oh, little baby Gabriel.
At some point between being seen with Gabriel in San Antonio and being arrested in Florida, Elizabeth sent some really alarming texts to Logan, Gabriel's father. She said that he would never see their son again because she killed him.
Oh my goodness.
She told Logan that she smothered him and threw his body in a trash can. Later, she would reiterate those claims in a phone call with Logan. But,
are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, like he like called her, I guess, and she was like, I told you he's dead, basically. But after she was arrested, she said that she made all that up just to upset Logan and claimed that she actually gave the boy to a childless couple who she met at the park in San Antonio.
What?
Not like she just ran into them at the park. Like they planned to meet at the park to give them Gabriel.
So she asked to give him up for adoption. Dad said no, and then she did it anyway.
Too bad.
At least. That's okay.
Elizabeth said that she actually spent 3 days with the adoptive couple that she gave her son to, but that she deliberately tried to not remember their last names or what their car looked like or any other details about them so that she could not contact them later if she changed her mind to go get her son. So she was like purposely trying to not like commit the stuff to memory so she couldn't change her mind.
What kind of weird stuff is this?
Like, how do you do that? Like, I can't just be like, you know what, Megan, forget about this. My anxiety does not let that happen. There are plenty of things I wish I could just be like,
you know, spend 3 days with anyone and not know anything about them.
Well, she knew that the woman's first name was Cheryl, but she couldn't remember anything about the dude.
But who gets their baby in, like, these sketchy circumstances? Like,
a young mom who doesn't want to be a mom anymore?
No, I mean, like, who?
Oh, who gets them?
Yeah, who's like, oh, yeah, I want a black market baby.
Like, what's wrong with Cheryl? Yeah.
Yeah, and who's to say her name is really Cheryl?
Who wants to illegally adopt a baby? Like, what are you going to do with the baby for you to illegally adopt it?
That's
like, your whole life's going to have to be altered because of that. Like, just go get a baby, like, through the proper channels, yeah.
Unless
rather than have to, like, live off the grid, get fraudulent documents. Like, that just seems too hard.
Yeah, I just feel like you don't want a black market baby for, like, wholesome reasons.
Yeah, yeah. If you're getting a black market baby, it's because you want to do something to them that's awful. Not raise them and love them as your own.
I feel weird about calling them black market babies.
I don't know what else to call them.
I'm like, secondhand babies? That doesn't... That's worse.
Secondhand babies. Previously loved? I don't know.
Gently used babies. Okay, I'm stopping.
This is
now.
Going somewhere dark, yeah. A couple named Tammy and Jack Smith were hoping to adopt Gabriel, actually, at the time that this happened. And they had even spent a few weeks with him during the month leading up to his disappearance and had reportedly really bonded with him. But Logan, Elizabeth's ex-boyfriend and Gabriel's father, refused to give up his parental rights to the Smith family. Logan later stated that he felt like the couple was trying to force him into agreeing to the adoption and forfeiting his rights to his son. According to investigators, Tammy and Jack are considered to be people of interest in Gabriel's disappearance because they were the last people known to see him before he left Arizona with his mom. So he was seen in Texas again. Like, there are photos of him that they can confirm were taken in San Antonio. But before they made that trip, he was with Tammy and Jack Smith. So police think they're involved.
That can make a lot of sense, but How do you, like, how do you hide a baby for this entire time?
Especially when, like, obviously eyes are on you. Like, what are you doing to him? Like, how are you just, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, remember. I don't even know you can start, like, talking about adopting a baby if you don't have consent from both parents.
I guess she just, like, left him over there and, like, they played house him for a little bit. And then they're like, oh, this went well. Cool. Let me talk to his dad. Like, we already tried it out. It's going to be fine. Like, I don't know. They, like, test drove parenting. It's not like
a consumer thing. This is a human being.
Yeah. There, you cannot test drive a baby. Okay, so what I want to tell you next needs to be, like, just remember that it's kind of crazy when I tell it to you.
Okay.
Because almost all of the places where I've seen this information seems to be, like, a lot of web-sleuthing rabbit holes and not a whole lot of credible media sources.
Okay.
So, but it's worth mentioning. So I did see some of this on the Charlie Project page. So that gives it some weight because they are a great resource. But, like, a lot of it was
elsewhere.
Some people just speculating things. Anyway, Ken Gamble, a private investigator that was hired by Logan's family, said that he uncovered evidence that there was a third-party arrangement for an adoption made. That is, like, he actually said that. That's not craziness.
Okay.
He said that the couple was aware that the adoption wouldn't be legal, and he didn't believe that Gabriel was still in the San Antonio area and that he might be living disguised as a girl. Okay, so now is when we're going to get to the kind of crazy. So one of the hotels that Elizabeth stayed at in San Antonio is called the Homegate Hotel. And apparently it is well known in adoption circles because it's where agencies will put birth mothers up for meetings with potential adoptive families and to complete the paperwork. So,
okay.
Web sleuthing rabbit hole part. Some people say that it has been known to be a part of a illegal or underground adoption circuit. I saw one report that called San Antonio the, quote, dirty adoption capital of the United States, which is pretty terrifying. But the last known photographs ever taken of Gabriel were with Elizabeth's cell phone at the Homegate Hotel. So a lot of people are like, yeah, they do black market baby sales at the Homegate Hotel. And that part's the kind of, like, put a little asterisk next to it. Might not be real. But a lot of web sleuthing places mentioned the Homegate Hotel as being a clandestine baby smuggling, baby trade kind of thing.
Whoa.
And they can confirm that Elizabeth was there. Now, and they are actually a place that people use, adoption agencies, like, legit.
Right, so there's, like, a legit front,
it,
at least.
Yeah, for, but, like, a place for birth mothers to stay while they come and meet the families. So, like, that, like, legitimate adoption things are happening there. But the internet says some illegitimate ones are, too.
I don't know. I feel like if you're doing, if legit, if people are going through the proper channels to do it, wouldn't they also be, like, there and be able to, you know what I mean?
But, like,
I don't know.
Real businesses launder money for fake businesses, and they use it as a front. So, like,
okay,
somebody might be pocketing some money off these illegal adoptions.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But they're actual adoption people, so they, like, know what to do, and then, like, they just do one under the table or something for their own financial gain.
We're uncovering so many things. Raising mafias.
Right,
uncovering crazy, like,
dirty adoptions,
rings.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of things. Las Vegas police doing crazy stuff. And now, today, a black market baby sales bit, perhaps.
For adoption, not for, like, organ donation or something. Oh, that got really gross for me.
Oh, wow. No, I don't want to think
about
that.
So, not, like, not that. Not, like, because normally when I think of black market, I think, like, black market kidney sales or something. Like, remember that, like, I don't know if it really happened, but it was, like, an urban legend or something, maybe, where people were, like, waking up in bathtubs full of ice and their kidney had been cut out or something.
Yeah, yeah, I remember those things.
So, when I think black market, that's what I think. But this is, like, just a dirty adoption, like, an illegitimate adoption. The sale of a baby because somebody just creepily wants a baby and will stop at nothing.
Wow. I have heard that adoption is expensive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe, but people,
I think,
are,
it's probably more expensive to alter your life so much to hide a baby.
Yeah.
Or to pretend it's, like, your baby.
Yeah. I'm with you. Or to just be like, oh, yeah, this is our baby that we had. Hey, neighbors.
Yeah.
Everything. Nothing to see here. Yeah.
Authorities stated that they believe that Tammy and Jack Smith are withholding information and actually know more about Gabriel's whereabouts than they say. Tammy Smith repeatedly said that she believed Gabriel was safe somewhere and that he would be found. However, she kept saying something along the lines of, if Logan would agree to the adoption, she bets the little boy will be returned or something like that.
What the heck?
So, like, they just took him somewhere to, like, hide him until Logan got so, like...
So, basically hold him hostage.
Yeah, like a ransom. And but the ransom, ransom is parental rights. Yeah.
What kind of weird people? These are all, like, some strange behaviors.
Suspect as hell, yeah. Like, I bet you'll find him if you just let me be his mama. Like,
the heck, Tammy?
Yeah, Tammy. According to court documents, Tammy had played a quote-unquote deceptive role in the investigation and gave false statements to both the media and to the police. The court painted Tammy as an obsessed woman who would stop at nothing to have Gabriel as her son. She even went so far as to forge paternity documents listing someone else as Gabriel's father instead of Logan so that the adoption would go through.
What kind of craziness is this?
And, like, we were, Logan was just going to be like, man, I used to have a son. I wonder what happened to him. Like, she was just, like, so she pretended somebody else was his dad and, like, forged documents. But
there are a lot of babies and littles that need homes that their parents...
You don't have to steal one.
Yeah, that they're already dealing with the gaping... the whole of having someone say they don't want them.
Yeah.
Go adopt a baby.
Yeah, there are plenty. Yeah, so if you are a baby-obsessed listener, please don't steal a baby. Please go foster adopt or something. Wow. I saw conflicting reports that the person she listed on those documents was a family friend, and then others that said it was, like, her cousin. But anyway, another person was just totally cool with pretending to be this baby's dad so that Tammy could steal it.
Who co-signs these behaviors?
I don't know, but I wish people could see your face, because right then you were just like... Like, it's really, like, completely confused, like the audacity and also, like, wait, what? At the same time. In May
I'm going through it over here.
Like, working through it. It's all over your face. So, in May of 2012, Tammy was convicted of forgery and conspiracy to commit custodial interference. She was sentenced to 30 days in jail and 2 3-year probation sentences for each conviction.
Oh. But, just chilling on probation.
I just feel like conspiracy to steal a baby.
Like, it's a big one.
No big deal. That's just, sometimes the senses just, like, don't match the crime. Like,
yeah. I mean, I guess because she didn't actually steal the baby. She
well, they can't prove conspired. That she actually stole the baby.
Well, that's true. But I mean, like, where would it be?
I have no idea.
Like, in, like, a weird bunker in her house somewhere.
In October of 2012, Elizabeth had a weird bunker in her house. Like, that they just, behind a false wall.
Yeah.
In October of 2012, Elizabeth was found guilty of custodial interference, conspiracy to commit custodial interference, and unlawful imprisonment, but not kidnapping. She was sentenced to 5 years and 3 months in prison, followed by 4 years of probation. But with good behavior and her time served coupled together while she was awaiting trial, she was released early from prison in July of 2014. So, like... barely any time at all.
Wait, this Tammy? 2 years.
No, the
oh,
mom.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. I was like, wait.
Okay, yeah, so wait. Tammy got, like, nothing. Tammy got, like, a 30-day rest away from her family. Like,
she got a vacation.
Yeah, she got a month-long, all-expense-paid trip to a women's penitentiary. And
sounds terrible still. Like, you're not going to fool me. That's horrible still.
Yeah. But, and then Elizabeth got several, like, 5 years in prison, 5 years and 3 months in prison, and then from probation. But after less than 2 years, they let her out. But they gave her some time served in there, so it wasn't all just they let her out.
God, they're just letting people, you just can sell your babies and just carry on with your life.
Take a 2-year all-expense-paid trip to a women's penitentiary.
There's so much pettiness in there, too, because, I mean.
And, like, I don't think she killed him like she told Logan. I think she just told him that so Logan would, like, not look for him, you know? Like, when she really gave him to somebody else, like. She really gave her baby away.
I just don't understand. If you don't want to take care of the baby, that's one thing. Then you can give him to the dad.
But she probably didn't want to pay child support. Like, she'd still be on the hook to be, like, responsible for him.
Yeah, it's still, but...
Better than whatever you did to him.
What the heck?
So she was released in July of 2014, but rearrested in New Mexico in 2016 for a probation violation. But she only spent 20 days in jail for that.
People can just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's the moral of the story.
Yeah. That's what I've learned.
Grave news indeed.
Yeah. In 2015, a photo of a child in Ohio was showed to Logan's family, and he was asked to submit a DNA sample. According to the caseworker that contacted Logan, The child in the photo had some sort of relationship to Tammy Smith.
Holy moly.
But sadly, I have seen no other information about that. So I'm guessing it wasn't Gabriel Johnson, sadly. But it was kind of hopeful that, like, they were still, like, hunting down leads. And they're like, hey, there's this baby over here who could be Gabriel. And, like, let's just check it out. And that was, like, in 2015. So, like, 6 years later. So even though I found nothing on whatever happened with that. 6 years is a long time for people to be like, I'm glad they're still actively looking. Yeah.
My vote is bunker.
Bunker. I've talked about it, I think, before. The Silent Child. It's a book.
I haven't read it, but you told me
about it. Lori told me to read it. It's like the greatest book ever. It's because the narrator's British, and now I will only listen to British books. She's like ruined me. Anyway, but the kid was stolen and kept in an underground bunker, and that's why my brain keeps thinking that. But they didn't want to raise the child to love him. Like, you can't keep a kid in an underground bunker if you want it to be your son, because you want to go to, like, Disney World and, like, the zoo and throw birthday parties, but you can't
like,
do
it. Send him to school and, like, put his pictures up on your fridge. Yeah, you can't just be like, I'm going to have an underground bunker fridge. That's not the same.
Like, homeschooling co-op in your bunker. Like, that's, I don't know. Like, you can't simulate all those activities that you would want to do with your, like, legitimate son.
Yeah. The joys of parenthood need to happen.
It wouldn't even be fun.
Above ground.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Today, baby Gabriel would be 10 years old. And this month marks the 10th anniversary of him last being seen. His whereabouts are still unknown. According to the San Antonio Police Department, his case remains an active and open missing persons investigation. Wow. If you have any information about the disappearance of Cliff Sigmund in Kentucky, please contact the Kentucky State Police at 1-800-222-5555 or 606-928-6421. You can remain anonymous. If you have any information about the disappearance of Sabrina Hathaway in Massachusetts, please contact the Worcester Police Department at 508-799-8651. And lastly, if you have any information about the disappearance or the current whereabouts of Gabriel Johnson, please contact the police department in Arizona, where his father Logan lives, at 480-350-8311. The San Antonio Police Department, where he was last seen, at 210-207-7273. Or the San Antonio office of the FBI, at 210-225-6741. You can also contact the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-843-5678.
Thank you for listening to Sideline Sleuths. If you have any comments or questions about this case or just feedback about the show in general, you can find us online Facebook.com/sidelinesleuths. And if you haven't already had the chance, please rate and review the show on iTunes, Facebook, or any social media or streaming platforms available.